your Bibles to Matthew 16. We're going to start in verse 13, and we'll go quite a ways through the chapter. And you remember these last handful of Sundays, we talked about where the Lord says, "Come to me." And he still says that today. Come to me if you're tired, weary, fearful, and what he does for that. And then we looked at the fact that he says, ask of me. And he still asks of us today, challenges us. And to ask of him, not with the immaturity of the disciples who wanted to sit at his left and his right, but we talked about how in the right heart and the right spirit, with boldness and with courage, he still says to you and I, ask of me. Then we talked about the fact that he says, remain in me. That I am the vine, and you are the branches, and my Father is the gardener, and that you can do nothing apart from me, he said, and that you are to remain in me. And if you do that, he promised still to remain in you. And so, this morning, as we close this series, we're going to look at the fact that Jesus, in this passage, and still today, says, you can depend upon me, you can trust me. So this passage takes place in Caesarea Philippi, and it's interesting. The Lord knows that his time is getting close. He knows that he really needs to connect at a deep level with those closest to him. And so he leaves about 25 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. He gets away from the very predominantly Jewish region, and he gets into a very mixed cultural, religious area. And so he knows the press won't be upon him by the people. He knows the Jews who are plotting to kill him won't be such an issue there. And so he has a little time to ask those closest to him some very important questions. And so he wants to know, do they really understand? Do they recognize me? Probably at the very heart of Jesus is of being understood and being recognized, as he's probably asking himself as well as to the disciples, do they understand, do they recognize enough that when I'm gone, when I fulfill my purpose, my mission at, on the cross and ascend to the Father, when that happens, will they be able to carry on effectively? Truthfully, the whole plan of the gospel, the establishment of the church, I'm sure is on Christ's mind, and he wants to know, is there a solid enough a foundation when the Holy Spirit comes and the church is established that God's plan, the advancement of his kingdom on earth, will take place? And so this beautiful passage, Matthew 16, talks about the deity of Christ, and God still talks to you and I today through this important passage. So we're going to look at the question he asked. We're going to understand why this question is so important, not only for Jesus' mind, for the disciples closest to him, did they grasp, but also for us and for everyone still today. Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? So he asked them this dramatic question. He waits till they get to Caesarea Philippi in this passage. There's a reason. Of all the areas that's very mixed culturally, religiously, there's all kinds of pagan temples. And so Jesus looks at his disciples and all of this mix and milieu and everything that's going on and time getting short. And he says, who do people think that I am? What are people saying about me? What's the buzz when you talk to them? Who do they say that I am? And so you see in this passage, right in verse 14, the response. They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And so the people that they're talking to, what the disciples are hearing in response to this question, these are all good things. These are all compliments. These are all prophets, very important to the Jews in their Jewish mind. But then look at verse 15, the most important question. Still the question that's asked by God of us today. But what about you? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So he said, you are the Christ. In fact, in Mark 8, as Mark records them, Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Every book in the Gospels talks about this word Christ, or they might use the word Messiah. Very same word, one is Hebrew, one is Greek. And what's important about that word is you are confessing, you are stating your faith, your belief. I believe you are the anointed one. You are from God. You are God. And so when Peter looks at Jesus in response to this question, where some are saying you're this prophet and that prophet and all these good things, he's saying, wait a second, Lord, I want you to realize that we know you are the anointed one. You're not Jeremiah. You're not Elijah. You're not one of the prophets, one of others. You are unique. You are anointed. You are the Messiah. And there's four things in this passage of this wonderful question. There's four things that Jesus still tells you and I today. You see them in your outline there. Depend upon me. He's saying four things. First, Jesus says, depend on me to bless those who recognize me as God. Whenever there is an individual life, still today, that crosses that line of faith, that is able to discern and understand and put their trust in Christ for salvation and trust his work on the cross and his righteousness, not their own ticket to get into heaven, they're baptized into him and become a new creature in Christ. What Jesus is still saying is when that happens today, you can depend upon me when there's still an individual that recognizes me as God, the Messiah, the Anointed One. You can trust me. You can depend upon me to bless them. Look at verse 17. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. In other words, you didn't pick this up by walking through the crowd or the buzz of the people of what he was asking, but God himself revealed this to you. And that tells us two great truths. Of all the human categories and attributes in our finite human minds that we try to, it is impossible, it is inadequate for us to describe Jesus and what he did. But when they're describing Jesus, Peter looks at him and says, okay, you're not a prophet, you're not Jeremiah, you're not Elijah. Those were good men of God, but let me tell you something. You're the anointed one. You're not John the Baptist who came to prepare the way for the anointed one. Peter is saying, you are him. And so Jesus says, anytime that that happens, anytime that anyone recognizes me as the Son of God, the Anointed One, of God himself, you can still depend upon the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit to bless them. And here's the other thing it teaches. I hope you see in this passage, our discovery still today of Christ, of Jesus, must be a personal discovery. Christianity never consists in the realm of knowing about Jesus. It's not strictly a cognitive effort. It always consists in knowing Jesus. It's a very personal, individual discovery. In fact, Peter had made this confession once before. I believe it was in one of the hymns we sang about the breaking of the bread by the water. So in the breaking of the loaves of the bread, Peter says, you are the Christ, the Anointed One. But what's so special about this passage, about this context, is that Jesus is asking it. And so he's pressing and he's saying, who do you say that I am? In other words, he's bringing the subject up, and when they answer, when they respond, as soon as Peter tells him who he is, Jesus lobs it back and begins to build on the subject and wants to fan it into flame, if you will. So still today, you can depend upon Jesus to bless anyone who recognizes him as God. And that's a great intro. That's still, as an ambassador of Christ for you today, you can simply say, who is Jesus? Who do you think Christ is? Just an open-ended question that was asked by our Lord himself, and you can simply go up to someone outside of Christ and say, who do you believe Jesus is? That's a great question. So Jesus says, depend upon me Now look, secondly, to build my church, verse 18. So Peter makes this incredible confession, and Jesus says, you can depend upon me in these individual decisions that still go on in our midst today, that all these individual believers that cross the line of faith, they recognize me as the Messiah, the Anointed One. You can depend upon me, trust me, to still bless them because of that decision of faith. But then what do I do with all these individual believers? Collectively, I bring them together to build my church. Verse 18. Jesus says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Now the word for church there literally means a called out assembly, ecclesia, a called out assembly. So in other words, about 114 times in Scripture when it talks about that word and the church, it's the about 90 times it's the local church, and the rest of the times it's the universal church or the church collectively. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's not talking about the local church, but he's talking about what the plan of God is to advance his will, his kingdom on earth, establishing the church, the called out assembly, the universal church, the church in general. So he says, I want you to know, Peter, that it's my church, Jesus, and I'm going to build it. And he says, I want you to know that the gates of hell will not prevail, will not overcome it. So he gives this beautiful picture, still today, of the church being on the offensive, not passively sitting down someday or trying to figure out the date and saying, okay, it's going to be this day, this month, this year, so I'm going to sell everything I have and hand out tracts and try and tell people that this is when it's happened. It's not this passive approach, but he's saying, no, the church is offensive. And someday Jesus Christ is going to come back, he says, but it's this picture of this onward Christian soldier church, this offensive church, one that is moving, that is battling against the gates of hell. The gates are defensive. He's saying this is a church that says charge. And he's saying, I want you to know something about this church. It's not only going to be aggressive in that nature, and it's not only my church, but he says, I will build it. You can depend upon me, Jesus, to establish and build my church. Depend upon it. Look at number three. Depend upon him in doing that to use ordinary people. You look around this morning. We're ordinary people. And you know what Jesus says? Depend upon me to use individuals just like you for the most important endeavor that God himself has established, building the church. Look at verses 17 to 19. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound on heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, Jesus is not saying that Peter is going to found the church, because Christ is the chief cornerstone. He found, he established the church. But what he is saying is, Peter, you know, kind of as a first among equals, as a leader, as kind of the first to recognize and state who I am, to declare publicly that I am the Anointed One, the Son of God. Peter, guess what? You're going to be able to become a charter member of this called out assembly, this universal church. So you're going to be the first stone or rock, or as we read in 1 Peter, these spiritual building blocks that God uses, each and every one of us, to put together to build the local church and to build the larger church. So he's saying, I'm going to give you the keys, if you will. So we use keys to open doors, to gain entry, and that's what God did with Peter. He gave Peter the privilege of opening the door of faith, the entry into the church, to the Jews on the day of Pentecost. And then he gave Peter the ability to bring the Samaritans into the church in Acts 8. And then he gives to Peter the opportunity, the keys, the ability to gain entry for the Gentiles with Cornelius to come into the church. And then he shares that authority, that opportunity with the other apostles, with Paul, privileged to open the door of faith to the Gentiles outside of Jerusalem and Samaria and Palestine itself. And then he goes on and he says, you are going to be able to bind, you are going to be able to loose. So bind literally means you can forbid. You're going to be able to forbid. And loose literally means you are going to be able to permit. So what does that mean? What's he saying to Peter there? Does that mean Peter controls who goes into heaven? Not at all. I mean, we hear all these jokes about Peter standing at the pearly gate and all of this. Peter's really not there. That's probably a good thing. But the Greek verbs here are very important. Whatever you bind on earth, in other words, whatever you forbid to be done, Peter, whatever you shall have already bound in heaven, or whatever you loose on earth or permit to be done, shall already be loosed in heaven. So in other words, Peter, whatever you permit to be done on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven. Jesus did not say that God would obey what they did on earth, but what he is saying is that they should do on earth what God has already willed in heaven. The church does not get man's will done in heaven. The church obeys God's will on earth. Boy, that's important. The church does not get man's will done in heaven. The church obeys God's will on earth. And it's amazing that Jesus looks at Peter and he says, Peter, I tell you something. You're a rock. I'm going to use you to build my church on. And he says, you can still depend upon me, him, to use ordinary people like you. So who does God pick? When God builds his church, what does he do? He uses you, he uses me, he uses regular people. And he says, you can depend upon me, Jesus, to build my church. You can depend upon me to bless those who recognize me as the anointed one. You can depend upon me to use ordinary people to build my church. And one more thing, look at your outline. Depend upon Jesus to reveal new and higher truth. So he's saying you can still depend upon me to walk into your life. Reed was talking about it this morning. The Holy Spirit works through his word, and Jesus, God, can still walk into your life and reveal new and higher truth through his Holy Spirit, through his divine word. And Jesus says, you can still depend upon me to reveal new and higher truth to you. Look at verse 20, this new level of living. So key. Then Jesus warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Now, isn't this interesting? He just asked them. He wanted to know. They just told him who he was. He declared them to be right and said, you're going to be blessed because of it. And then he says, don't tell anybody. Why would he do that? Well, the reason is because he understood now. He knew that they recognized who he was, but they didn't yet have a clue of his death and how he was going to accomplish the plan. And they had some preconceived notions, as you know, of how the Messiah would come and an earthly kingdom and kind of perhaps a military rule and kind of all of these things of men in these preconceived ideas. And Jesus knew they didn't grasp yet. You know, they think he's going to be a conqueror and build an earthly kingdom and get out from under the thumb of the Romans. And he knew they didn't understand, and that if they went out and started talking about it, it would just mess things up. So he says in verse 21, don't tell anybody. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Now, as soon as Jesus talks to them about this, remember his time's getting short. He wants to get this important stuff across to them. Look at verse 22. He's talking to them about his death. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." That's Peter's nickname. "You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." So you ask yourself, why was Jesus so strong with Peter? It's very simple. Peter is trying to do with Jesus what our adversary, what Satan, what the tempter was trying to do with Jesus right after his baptism and the Holy Spirit came and the inauguration beginning of his earthly ministry, and he's out in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, and what does the devil come but comes to Jesus and tries to get him to go any other way but through the cross. Here's all these other ways you can get followers, Christ. What's Peter doing? The same thing. Jesus says, "I'm going to go and I'm going to die on a cross and then I'll come back." Wait, Peter says, no, that's never going to happen to you. No, you can't go that way. In other words, he's saying, Christ is saying, Peter, your place is behind me, not in front of me. Your place is to follow me in the way that I choose and what God's plan is, not lead me in the way that you think I should go or you would like me to go. In other words, Peter, quit telling me what to do. You simply follow. I'll lead. Depend upon me. This will come to pass. And then Jesus does some radical teaching in the rest of this passage. It's a great passage if you read the next handful of verses, because he says, "I say, deny yourself. The world will say, live for yourself. I say, deny yourself and take up your cross. The world will say, ignore the cross. I say, follow me, don't follow the world. I say, lose your life for my sake. Don't try to keep it. The world will say, your life is the most important thing and keep it at all costs for your sake. I say, forsake the world. The world will say, gain, grab, hold tightly everything you can of the world. The world will say, at all costs, keep your soul. I say, lose your soul for my sake. Share in my reward and my glory," he says, "or you will lose your reward and your glory." And still, Jesus says these four things. You can depend upon me to bless you as you recognize him as the Messiah. You can still depend upon Jesus to build his church here and around the world. You can still depend upon Jesus to use ordinary people like you and you and you and you to accomplish that. And he says, you can still depend upon Jesus to take you through his Holy Spirit and through his dynamic living word to new and higher truth. Wonderful words spoken. Depend upon me. Wonderful words that he still says to each and every one of us this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time of sitting at your feet, where you've said, come to me, remain in me, ask of me, and now depend upon me. And we do, Father, for without you, we can do nothing. And we thank you that still today you bless those who recognize you, who you are, your work on the cross, and who they are in relation to your Father. Father God, we thank you for your purpose through Christ on the cross, for the indwelling of his Spirit within us, and for the privilege that we have in depending upon him to build the church that we're blessed collectively to be a part of, because of those individual decisions that each and every one of us made at some point for the Christ. A wonderful promise, and on this Memorial Day weekend, we remember the price that you paid to accomplish just that for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.